that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
No barring the creating some more time. And that's why the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after comes the judgment. And even worse, we are not informed of how much time we actually have. You could have a couple of decades or 20 years, or you could have merely a couple of hours left. We just don't know. And my brothers and sisters, we are almost never given a heads up when our time is about to run out, making death almost always a surprise. Reminds me of a certain rich man who yielded a bumper crop, who said to himself, I think I'm going to pull down my old barns and build me some new barns and store all of my goods, because I got so many goods, the old barns won't even handle them. And I'm going to say to my soul, you got many goods laid up for years. So just go ahead on and lay back, eat, drink, and be merry. Yeah. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. In other words, he said, fool, tonight you're going to die. Meaning we never know how much the next upcoming minute is really worth, as it could be our last one here on the earth. But unfortunately, most folk don't think about the value of time. But guess what? One day all of us will run out of time, and no matter what it is that you haven't done or haven't accomplished while you were alive, it's going to be too late. And so we need to try and make the most of time. How? By remembering that we only have one life. And that's all. You're made for God, so don't waste it. But how many of us know that you can be successful, you can be rich and living the so-called good life, but if you don't have the Lord in your life, you're just living a wasted life? And that's why the Bible teaches us in Matthew 16:26 that Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what does it profit a man to, what can a man exchange for his soul? And my brothers and sisters, life is wasted when we do not live our lives for the glory of God. Now that's what Jesus meant in Matthew 5:16 when he said, let your light so shine before men so that others may see your good works and give glory to the Father who's in heaven. And my brothers and sisters, life is wasted when we do not live our lives for the glory of God. Because this is the mistake that many people continue to make. They glorify and trust in earthly things, earthly relationships, their own power, talent, and beauty or goodness they see in others. But the problem with all this is that all these things will inevitably fade away. Are you with me? Leaving folk in despair. But lest I hold you too long, if you're not giving God the glory for everything you are and everything you do, again, I say you're living a wasted life. And so our example of a young person who was living a wasted life is found here in our text in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. And the word prodigal itself means wasteful. A note we read, and not many days after the young son gathered all together and took his journey in a far country. And there he wasted his life. In a far country, he wasted his money, his character, his influence, his health, and as well as an opportunity of doing good in his life. Young people, just look around you and you will see examples of wasted lives in many people who've allowed their lives to be overtaken by drugs, overtaken by alcohol, and all they're doing is existing and nothing more. Now, they weren't born that way. They weren't that way always. Are you here? They were just like you one day. They were going to school and perhaps in church, and some perhaps was in the youth department and the like. But somewhere along the line, they outgrew God and start to live their lives independent of him. But without Christ in your life, you are living a wasted life. A life without any purpose other than being hooked on drugs or alcohol, a riotous living. Because in the text, the prodigal walking away from his father is an example of people who walk away from God and try to live their lives without him in control. Because without Christ, again, I say in your life, even if you are successful, educated, good, and loyal to your wife and your family, without Christ in your life, you are still living a wasted life. Like in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a poor beggar, but the rich man had everything but compassion and God in his life. Even the guard dogs had more compassion for Lazarus. But the Bible says that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, which suggests to me that he lived a rich and prosperous life, but he lacked the main ingredient in his life, and that was God. And so again, I remind us that the Bible says, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and die and end up in eternal torment? Which says to me that the greatest tragedy in the world is the tragedy of a wasted life. And so before I close, I need to lift three things in your hearing as we talk from this subject, the tragedy of a wasted life, and I'll let you alone. And so the one thing that ought to make us not want to live a wasted life without Christ is that we have just one life to live. And my brothers and sisters, knowing this, we need to make the best of our lives. We need to do the best that we can to live a fruitful life. And the one way to do this is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you won't have to live a wasteful life. You won't have to live an empty life trying to find love and happiness and successful living and purpose, especially joy in the things of the world. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God, talk about God's rule in your life, all these other things will be added unto you. But oh, how many of our young people today and some old folks are living a wasteful life without God. But a life without God is a life that is wasted, no matter, again, I say, how successful it may seem. And again, I want to say again, the Bible says, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? My brothers and sisters, we can never relive our life. And that's why time is such a precious commodity. It's a precious commodity for any living thing. Because in reality, it's the only thing in the world, again, I say, that has intrinsic value. And let me tell especially the young folk that there's nothing more valuable, again, I say, than time, because time cannot be bought back. And so don't waste it on the wrong things in life. However, all of us are given a certain amount of time that we can spend in our lives. And again, I say, but once it run out, there's no buying it back. But even worse, we are not informed of how much time we actually have. You could have, as I said, 20 years. You could have 30 years. But we don't know. But how sad it is to read the obituary and see young people in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s dead. Many of whom were not saved, who had walked away from God and was living a wasteful and a fast life, not knowing that they would never get a chance to redeem the time or get right with their maker. And my brothers and sisters, I don't care how good folks say you were when they come to your funeral. I don't care how they say how loving you were. If you're not saved like the rich man, you still will lift up your eyes in hell. Again, the Bible says, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and after come the judgment. Well, just ask the rich man who ended up in hell and saw poor Lazarus, who only desired the crumb from his table, now comforted in paradise in what they call Abraham's bosom. And the rich man was in torment and begging Father Abraham just to let Lazarus come down and bring him not a glass of water, but just a drip of water to fall on his scorching tongue. just to cool his scorching tongue, for he was in torment. But Abraham said to him, it's too late. Your destiny is sealed. Even if Lazarus wanted to come to you, he can't, because there's a great gulf between here and there. He can't come to you, nor can you come to where he is. Meaning there's no back door in hell. There's only one way in and no way out. Now, I know that there are so-called preachers like Carlton Pearson and others who say that there's no such thing as hell, and in the end, everybody gonna go and be with the Lord anyhow. Well, I'd rather live and believe that it is a hell and die and find out that it isn't, than to live my life believing that there is no hell and die and find out there is a place called hell and I end up in it. And so, yes, Lord, and so I'm going to stand on the word of God that says in the end, all those who don't belong to him will be cast in the lake of fire along with the devil and his angels. Jesus says this is the second death according to Revelation 20 and 14. My brothers and sisters, if you don't live this life right and die wrong, the opportunity, your opportunities will be gone forever to be with the Lord. And so the prodigal wasted all of his substance on wine, women, and song. What a lot of us call the good life and having a good time, when in fact we're just wasting our times on things that are passing, not knowing when our time is going to be over. But secondly, there are many things that call us to live the best life. Well, first of all, God calls us to live the best life by calling on us to trust in the Lord with all your heart, by leaning not to your own understanding, by acknowledging him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, he said, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. For instance, in the world, all the places of vice, the nightclub, the strip club, the casinos and the like, they're all lit up with flashing lights, showing you the way and inviting you to come in. But the churches, like Mount Olive, we set off the block in the dark. Sometime, if it wasn't for street lights at night, you wouldn't even know the church was even here. But not so with the other places, because they're well lit up. They got all kinds of flashing lights. They got all kinds of things to draw you into their vices. Now, I must admit that one time I was attracted to those bright lights. But like the prodigal, somewhere along the line, I came to my senses by listening to the voice of God. But a whole lot of my friends didn't get this opportunity, because many were killed, others died, and some died from overuse of drugs and the like. But by the grace of God, I was given another chance. And that's why we have to be careful, because we don't know how much time we got left. We don't know that if we drift away from the Lord, that we'll get an opportunity to come back home. And so I thank God today that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want for anything. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will feel no evil, because he's right there with me. And so I pray the Lord daily for his mercy and his grace, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And therefore, young people, don't give up on the Lord. Prepare yourself and prepare your life by getting a good education, but keep God first in your life. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't enjoy entertainment and the like, but it does mean that there are some boundaries that you should not cross, and there are some things that you won't allow to take control of your life, because you only have one life to live, and therefore you need to live a life with purpose. by finding out your purpose in life and then fulfilling it by the grace of God. Because none of us, again, I say no when we're doing our last. My brothers and sisters, it is a wasteful life to live without Christ. Because like the prodigal son, you can end up in the pig pens of life even though you may not know it. But even worse is a tragedy in eternity when this life is over because there is only two directions you can go. You can either go and spend eternity with the Lord or you can spend eternity without him. And my brothers and sisters, we need to make the most of the time by remembering, again I say, that we only have one life to live. And this life is short. But unfortunately, most folk don't think about the value of time. And so many live their lives like the prodigal son. They live it in wasteful and riotous living. Many of our young men and women are living that unproductive life. And they're trying to take shortcuts to success by selling illegal drugs at the lack, only to end up hooked on drugs and spending most of their lives in prison, or even worse, be killed or dying before their time. But in the text, the young man, yes, Lord, he found himself in a pig pen, feeding pigs. And somebody may wonder, well, what's wrong with feeding pigs? Well, it's because a Jew will not even touch a pig. And so here was a little Jewish boy dealing with unclean animals because the Jew, the pig is an unclean animal. But he found himself in a pig pen. And not only did he find himself feeding the animals, but he was so hungry that even pig food started looking good enough to eat because nobody gave him anything. But it was in that deplorable condition that he came to his senses. Now that suggests to me if you're living a wasteful life by trying to do your own thing without God, just look around you and see those who once lived as you are living but are now living for the Lord, and you will come to realize that God still loves you even when you stray away, even when you do wrong. He still loves you. My brothers and sisters, if there's anybody in here and anybody listening by way of radio, if you want to know how to get back to God when you wasted your life, all you got to do is repent of your sins and ask him for forgiveness, and he will restore. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning the Lord will restore you to a right relationship with him and back in living a blessed life and not living a wasteful life. And if you've never been saved by receiving Jesus as your Savior, but you want to live that abundant life instead of a wasteful life, well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said you will be saved. And you'll move from a wasteful life to a blessed life. And you'll begin to rejoice and realize that finally it's a glorious life to live for Christ. Why? Because as the songwriter says, only what we do for Christ will last. And so in the text, when the young son came to himself and realized that he didn't have to live that way because he had a father who had servants who were living better than he was. So we note in verse 18 of the text, he said, I will arise and I'll go back to my father. And I'll say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Now, this is the first step of repentance, and that is acknowledging your wrong. That's why the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. My brothers and sisters, especially young folk, don't waste your life or continue to waste your life on unproductive living without God as you pursue your education and get ready for your future. Always remember that you only have one life to live, and that's all. You are made for God, so don't waste your life. You need to resolve today to live your life with all your might as you pursue your purpose and please God, because God created you to live with a single, all-embracing, all-transforming passion, namely a passion to glorify him in all you do. Because life is wasted when you don't glorify the Lord with your life. Because in the text, the prodigal son was not glorifying God, but he was glorifying himself by wanting to do his own thing. Note he told his father, he said, Father, give me my portion of goods that fall from me. And the text says, not many days after that the young man gathered all together and he journeyed into a far country, and there he wasted all of his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. And let me tell you something, when everything is going your way and you got a little money in your pocket, everybody want to be around you. Everybody want to come to you. But when you get busted and disgusted, I tell you, folk will get the backing away from you. They don't want to be in your company anymore. But when you got a little money and you got things going your way, everybody want to be around you. And like the prodigal son, all of those folk that he was giving, buying drinks for and doing all kinds of favors for, they were nowhere around. That's why he found himself in a pig pen. But my brothers and sisters, we waste our lives when we don't weave God in our working and our living and every part of our life by enjoying and displaying him as our Savior. Because the opposite of a wasted life is living by a single God-exalted life with God as your Savior. Because as I try to move to the close, yes, Lord, you ought to long for a life with eternal significance. Now, we can't get our wasted life back, nor can you get wasted years back, but you can get a new start in life and begin to live your life, live a life that is productive. You can live a life that glorifies God. How do we glorify God? By acknowledging his greatness and giving him all honor and praise and worshiping his holy name, because he alone deserves our praise, our honor, and our worship. And so in closing, one day like the prodigal, I came to myself, and then I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. And then I found out something else, and that is that nobody is too lost to be found, too far out that they can't be brought in, too low down that the Lord can't lift you up. too filthy and dirty that the blood of Christ can wash you and make you clean. Ain't God all right? Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, he shed his precious blood to wash away our sins. And as he hung, bled, and died there on that cross for the sins of the world, that's why the songwriter say, what can wash away all my sins? And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Then somebody else wrote, he said, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that give me strength from day to day. It will never, I said, no, never lose its power, because it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, that blood that give me strength from day to day. I say it will never, no, never lose its power. But not only did Jesus die for our sins, but after laying in the grave 3 days and three nights, it was bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. It's because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lived, I don't have to live a wasted life. That's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm a wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, I sit on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he deliver you from a wasted life? Won't he give you a brand new start? Yes, Lord. Won't he save your soul from a burning hell? Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pity every groan. And long as I live, while trouble rise, I'm gonna haste unto his throne. Ain't God all right? I know he's all right. You don't have to tell me he's all right, because I know for myself that the Lord, he's all right. Yes, he's all right. Yeah. Yeah.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Every 10 years, the federal government conducts a population count of everyone in the U.S. Data from these counts help to inform the parameters of how the government will distribute more than $675 billion to communities annually. This includes you and everyone in your community. This affects funding for schools and other educational institutions, transportation, housing, healthcare, and employment. You can complete your 2020 census online, over the phone, or by mail. Visit www.census2020.gov.
Dr. Paul Matthews, specializing in the treatment of neck and back pain, using only natural healing methods, no opioids or surgeries. So if you're suffering from low back pain or whiplash, burning sensations, or muscle spasms from an accident or injury, you need Dr. Paul now at the Wooddale Chiropractic Clinic, 711 Bolton Avenue in Alexandria. Open from 9 a.m. to 12 noon and 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 318-625-7103. It's Dr. Paul, y'all.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God.